알아. 다 가서는 되니기 지글레 상보 개위레 사진 사바이네야. 네 할래야 게다. 아니 아니 지게 디바체 바이나 아니 마 녀월 마 지거레 세시치시. 내가 지는 두기 지게 코알이야 인구스카이 민두스테 잠가브레 할기기도 가브레 지기 야고 되어 야고 되어라 히 되어 야고 쇼 녀베네 디 유어 진제 나 누마 녀야다 디네 차기도 와 디네 산 디네기 누마 빠도 메바 용고에 심제 디네기 누마 녀 빠도 메바 요레 제자 디네 자 심제 탐제 네 지 디네기 누마 자고도 되어 되어 고스 민제 삼 삼다 제가도 한디 장 Semjet him to Tiawa, the Temba, Duma, Tevi, Chiru, Miss San Yuko Toba Chigi. That's San Yuko Toba La, and then on the Carchegoras, and then Jimbo Tunis, the Botun, something in Yemen Cheho, and that D, that thing I want to give Gohab Yu Kabla, Deniton and Yemen Gantu to Chigi in Sempike, that's some little niche starting on to get, and then in the Nidilia, and the Karachina, and the Chen, and Pimbe Chiru in Sempi, and I couldn't want any kitchen, Carson Dinichegoras.
Good morning. So last night we spoke about how one's whichever state of whichever rebirth, whichever realm one is reborn in samsara, this comes about due to the causes we have created. So if one creates a powerful, virtuous causes, this will lead to a propelling karma, which will lead to a rebirth in the heavens or in the god realm. But if one accumulates powerful non-virtuous karma, this will lead to rebirth in a suffering realm, such as a hell realm. So we're looking at this so as to come to see that certain rebirths within samsara, such as in the god realms, the samsaric pleasures are really quite immense. But nevertheless, no matter how much pleasure one has in one's life, this is not stable, it will not last, it will come to an end. And when it comes to an end, rebirth in the hell realms or in the low realms is a very real possibility. So thinking like this, we should come to see, first of all, that samsara has no essence, there's nothing worth striving for within cyclic existence. And then taking this understanding and applying it to all beings, generate compassion for all beings who are suffering within samsara, lost and confused. Once compassion has been developed, develop this further to the right and generate a bodhicitta itself. Once bodhicitta has been developed, we then can contemplate the practices that a bodhisattva engages in, namely the six perfections of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom. And here we've been encouraged in this text to recognize the preciousness of the opportunity that we have and utilize this opportunity well, seeing the faults of cyclic existence, seeing or understanding the way to become freed from cyclic existence, to utilize this opportunity well, and to engage in these meditations repeatedly over a sustained period, always with a motivation to be of greatest benefit to others. We'll continue from where we finished last night. So last night we looked at a verse that spoke about the beautiful environment that's experienced by gods in terms of their gardens and parks. These pleasurable experiences are impermanent and will end and may end in a rebirth in a hell realm. So today's verse, or this morning's first verse, we're going to look at something similar, but here we're talking about pools and lakes and the like, and that these pleasurable experiences too are unstable, are unreliable, and can end with a rebirth in a lower realm.
And then Larry and Yawa to Rameba, and then Savi, the Lord Chutin Juxalo, says
the 73rd verse. Among the golden lotuses and lovely maids, they bathe in heaven's gently flowing pool. But into hell's own waters will they plunge, the scalding caustic river none can ford. The first two lines here, among the golden lotuses and lovely maids, they bathed in heaven's gently flowing pool. So this refers to the desire god realm of the heaven of the 33. So here the image that has been brought to mind is of a beautiful environment with flowing water, with waterfalls, and large pools with golden lotuses in them. So the idea here is to generate the thought of a place that is of particular tranquility and beauty, and a place where one would experience great pleasure and enjoyment.
Within
this beautiful environment, one is has many friends and companions who would also be gods and goddesses, and of course they would be extremely handsome and beautiful, but moreover they one would have close and harmonious relationships. So it's not only is the environment very beautiful, but one has good relationships with your fellow gods and goddesses there. So when we hear about these descriptions that beings are experiencing right now in the heavens, we should remind ourselves that such experiences come about independent of causes. So every being who attains a rebirth in heaven doesn't do so out of mere good luck, but rather they created the causes. So these causes would have been, firstly, guarding one's ethical conduct very well, because through guarding one's ethical conduct well, then one attains rebirth and a happy migration, such as in a God realm. Furthermore, by practicing generosity, one creates the causes to have abundant resources. And this we certainly can see in the hell realm, in the heavens, where the environment is very pleasant, as well as the material resources that the gods have, everything that they require, they have of the greatest quality. And furthermore, patience has been practiced in the past, and then this ripens as having healthy bodies with one's sense powers in perfect working order, so sight and sound and the like, and also harmonious relationships with others. So, briefly, when we hear a description like this, we should remember that it's through engaging in virtue we accumulate virtuous karmic imprints. And then these will ripen in pleasant, in happy, in desired experiences, such as a rebirth in the God realms.
Mm-hmm.
Such a rebirth then comes from the accumulation of virtuous karma, which led to virtuous imprints placed on one's continuum, which then later ripens into a propelling karma, into a good rebirth, with good conditions in that rebirth. When with such a good rebirth has been attained, then that has been attained due to previously accumulated karmic imprints, which now have been used up. And if then in that life, one's life is then spent, lost in distraction and enjoyment, and not spent accumulating further powerful virtue, then when the time of death comes, then the most powerful imprint on one's continuum may well not be a virtuous imprint, but may well be one of the many negative imprints that have been accumulated in previous lives. And that then will ripen into a propelling karma, propelling one into birth in the lower realms, such as in the hells, and then all the suffering experiences that comes with us. So therefore, to repeat that so that it's clear, the rebirth that we have attained now, or being in any realm has attained, is due to the imprints they have accumulated in the past. Those now have ripened and been exhausted. Future rebirths then are dependent on the imprints being created now. And if they are not, and when the time of death comes, the most powerful imprints will ripen and propel the next rebirth. And if that is not a virtuous imprint, it will be a non-virtuous imprint, and therefore lead to rebirth in one of the suffering realms.
Sawa that yeah, Yun Ringbu, Yaja, Chilon, Yaja, Chunma, Chilo, Dionu, that Chuna, Chasan, Chasan, Sasa, what, that Chilo, the Ruko, Yanjama, the Media. And Chilo, Dionu, Yaja, Yaman, I saw you with this.
If at the time of death the most powerful imprint on one's continuum propels one, is a non-virtuous imprint, it will propel one to the lower realms. And if it's a particularly powerful imprint, then one can be reborn in hell. And amongst the various sufferings that can, or the very suffering experiences that one can have in hell, we see some mentioned in the third and fourth line. But into hell's own waters will they plunge, the scalding caustic river none can ford. So this then refers to rebirth in a hell realm where one's reborn into a river. And this river then, perhaps we've seen in the news recently volcanic eruptions. So if we think of these rivers of flowing lava, this is something similar to what we see described here. So the being is born into this river of fire which burns them and scalds and burns their flesh. But unlike a human being who would die almost immediately from this, these hell beings experience tremendous pain and suffering but do not die. And as we can see, the river they're born into is called one that cannot be forded. So it's a river that cannot be crossed. But even should they manage to get out the river, then at that point they will die. But due to the power of this imprint that led to their rebirth in hell, they will once again be born into this river, once again have to experience immeasurable suffering and pain. And just like rebirth in the happy migrations comes from previously accumulated causes, karmic causes, so too does a rebirth in the lower realms. So through accumulating a non-virtuous karma, non-virtuous imprints are placed on the continuum, and these ripen into the result of this rebirth in the lower realms and all the suffering experiences in the lower realms. In this verse, Nagarjuna is saying to the king that he's talking, so we have this word here in the third line, so plunging down. So here he's creating the image of being such as you, O king, in a previous life. You were experiencing the delights of the heavens, and you were enjoying swimming in gently flowing streams. But from there, plunging down into the hell realms, plunging down into the rivers of the hell realms. And this, you, O king, is something that you will have experienced and experienced many times. Rebirth in with all the pleasures and delights of the heavens, and this, now in this life as a king, but also having been born in the hell realms. So you have all these experiences and you continue to go from one rebirth to another, to another, to another. And even when you are in a good rebirth like you are now, and like you have been at times in the past, always at the time of death there is this danger of falling into the lower realms. So here Nagarjuna is also encouraging the king, firstly to be aware of this, and secondly to utilize this opportunity, whatever remains of this life, to utilize it well, in particular to accumulate virtue. So the key points that are being made here is, first of all, Nagarjuna presenting these verses is he's trying to enable us to generate an understanding of this continued process of rebirth, of uncontrolled rebirth, sometimes in pleasant situations like we have in this life, sometimes in far better situations like we have, but at other times with the sufferings in the hell realms like we see explained here, or as an animal. So to see that this unstable situation that we have, that we take rebirth after rebirth after rebirth, always with a danger of potentially falling into the lower realms. So this is to generate some disenchantment within us, and to see that whatever situation we have right now is impermanent, it's unstable, it will change. And then leading on from that, that because the situation we have is unstable and will change, this is because it comes from particular causes and conditions. So if we're experiencing happiness or a favorable situation, this is because of virtuous imprints that have been accumulated in the past. Or the problems and difficulties and suffering we experience comes from non-virtue that we have accumulated in the past. So therefore, we need to focus our attention on purifying negativities, accumulating virtue. And then the reflection moves on. So first we're seeing that the situation that we're in is unwanted, in that it's that the happiness we have certainly doesn't last, and in fact psychic existence is pervaded by suffering. Secondly, that the situation is impermanent and it comes about due to causes and conditions. And therefore we need to engage in virtue and non-virtue. Sorry, we need to engage in virtue and abandon non-virtue. And what this then thirdly shows is that whilst everything that appears to our mind appears as if it is truly existent, it appears to be unchanging, it appears to be established from its own side, it doesn't exist in this way because of these previous two explanations, that our situation is impermanent, it changes, and that it comes about independence on causes and conditions. So therefore, our happiness is not truly existent despite appearing as so. Our suffering experiences despite appearing to be truly existent, are not. Because everything, one, is impermanent, it changes, it isn't something stable and lasting. And secondly, it comes about independence on causes and conditions. It's not something established from its own side by the way of its own characteristics. So this third point then leads us to an understanding of dependent arising, that all our happiness and all our suffering that we experience, despite appearing to be truly existent, is empty of true existence. When we come to have an appreciation for the situation that we have been in since beginning this time, continue migrating from rebirth to rebirth, sometimes in pleasant environments, sometimes experiencing tremendous suffering, and seeing how this just happens uncontrollably again and again and again, we need to shift that understanding to others and see how these limitless skies of sentient beings are in this same situation, circling in cyclic existence, just taking rebirth after rebirth after rebirth, always with the danger of falling to the lower realms, and once there, struggling to be reborn from the lower realms. And so, with this understanding then, the reason that ourselves and all beings are trapped within cyclic existence is because it's not just because we have accumulated negative karma, but we have also accumulated virtuous karma, such as practicing generosity, guarding our ethics, and being patient. However, these haven't been done with powerful concentration and wisdom. Therefore, whilst we have accumulated virtue, this virtue has only led to happy rebirths within cyclic existence. It hasn't led to liberation from cyclic existence. We continue to remain trapped within cyclic existence, even though we have been accumulating virtue. So the reason for us remaining trapped in cyclic existence is because we haven't yet truly come to see that samsara has no essence. We have not yet come to appreciate how a psychic existence is pervaded by suffering. And through not seeing this, we continue to engage in activities that keep us bound here, keep us trapped here. And that's the situation for ourselves and all other ordinary sentient beings. So we need to come to understand the nature of psychic existence and then the cause of psychic existence. And this, our afflicted minds. Because from our afflicted minds, such as our self-cherishing mind, whilst acting under the influence of these minds, we accumulate either virtue or non-virtue. And if we're accumulating virtue, but under the influence of these afflicted minds, this will ripen in rebirth still in psychic existence. It will not ripen in a rebirth out of psychic existence. And of course, if we accumulate non-virtue influenced by these afflicted minds, this leads to a rebirth in the suffering realm. So that's very clear. But as long as we are acting under the influence, under the control of these afflictive minds, even our virtue will result in rebirths within cyclic existence. So therefore, thinking like this, we should see that if we continue in this way, we will not be able to break the circle. We will continue to remain trapped within cyclic existence. And seeing that the hopelessness of this perpetuation, a wish should arise within us to be liberated, to break the circle, to be liberated from cyclic existence, both the happy as well as the suffering experiences within cyclic existence. And this and to do this, one needs to generate the two minds of concentration and the wisdom realizing selflessness, or the wisdom realizing emptiness. These two minds cultivated together or applied together, these lead to the complete abandonment of our self-grasping mind and thereby all our afflictive minds. And this then leads to liberation from cyclic existence, the attainment of the state of nirvana, a state completely free of suffering.
Seeing
then how it's only through developing concentration and wisdom together that we can break this continuous cycle of samsara, then we come to understand that we need to develop concentration and wisdom, and thereby we can cut the root of our afflictive minds, this mind of true grasping, and thereby attain liberation, be freed from suffering entirely. However, by now we would have recognized that this is something that we all want for ourselves. But this is not a wish that is unique to us, it's a wish that is shared by all beings. All beings want to be completely freed from suffering and problems and only experience happiness. However, we now have come to develop this understanding of our situation, as well as a method to be freed of the situation. And both these divisions of knowledge, other sentient beings, are almost all sentient beings, are ignorant of. They don't even understand the nature of their suffering experiences, let alone the need to abandon and how to abandon cyclic existence. So thinking like this, we develop our we're thinking like this, we turn our attention to the situation of others, and thereby through reflecting on the relationship that we have with all beings, how they've shown us kindness through the relationship of parent and child, and in other ways directly and indirectly, reflecting on this tremendous kindness, generating the wish to repay it, and thereby cultivating the minds of love and compassion, and eventually giving rise to the sincere wish where we take responsibility for the happiness of others, take responsibility for others being freed from cyclic existence. We then generate the mind of bodhicitta, committing to strive for Buddhahood for the sake of others. So this is the way Nagarjuna is encouraging the king to meditate on these verses here, to see them from the perspective of the Mahayana, and to utilize these verses as inspiration to firstly understand one's own situation as being trapped in cyclic existence, and how we have been here for so long and will continue to be here unless we do something different. And then take this understanding and apply it to others. And then lastly, the king is being encouraged to also see that right now he has the most favorable conditions that one could hope for. He has a precious human rebirth, as well as all the conditions that are required to develop spiritually. But despite having these conditions, these good conditions are impermanent, and they will end. And when they'll end, this is unknown. It could come at any time. And therefore, the king is being encouraged to utilize what remains of this opportunity as well as possible, and to do so through engaging in the practices of the six perfections.
Tawala, and then Yamlin chair, the Karin Yamlin chair would send a Yomoba, Koala Tawada, Yomoba, Pangu, Yomoba Payala, Yambo Karin Yamlin Chigure, Lamna Zugida, and Jimbo Chudu Seba, Tunjigi, D. Tianlea, and then there's something she near to be at Dam, and Dami put to be shut up, the and it gong Jebachi, Dami, Dor Tuyagi, and Alamo to be Jebachi, and she near to be at Dam, and the Dinigi Tapshi, Dinna Dami put to be. Share Toba and Din Yamlin Chin, that Harbor Toku Winza, Mandu in the Nishi. They are the Rantiku Samdama Mayimbaji, and draws Simja Tamchiki Dundu, and San Yoko Toya Dunda, some Danja, and want to be to Mandu in the Nishiho Kurwada.
And again, it's important to emphasize that we take this advice as not something that's been given for a historical king, or for others in the room, or for other beings, but that we take this as advice for us personally. And we now, of course, have not just a human rebirth, but a precious human rebirth. But this is something that we have attained through the causes that we ourselves accumulated in the past. In the past, we would have had other rebirths, such as in the heavens or in the hells. And those rebirths, we have accumulated the causes for similar rebirths again in the future. But what we haven't done yet is manage to break the cycle of continuing to take uncontrolled rebirth. And this is because all our minds are permeated with the afflictions, and thereby the karma that we accumulate is contaminated. And therefore, even when we accumulate virtuous karma, it remains karma that will propel rebirth within cyclic existence. So this we need to understand, and we need to come to see that wherever we are born in samsara, we will continue to suffer, we will continue to face the danger of falling to the lower realms, And we therefore need to be liberated. We need to break the cycle and obtain liberation. And to do this, we need to abandon the causes for continued rebirth, and that means abandoning our afflicted minds. And this comes through engaging the practices of the six perfections. And so here, specifically using the term six perfections, so in the context of the Mahayana, thinking about the welfare of others, putting the needs of others first and foremost, one engages in practices such as generosity, ethical conduct, etc. And in particular, the two practices that one must engage in to attain liberation, the development of calm abiding, as well as the cultivation of the wisdom understanding emptiness.
We see in
the world where political leaders engage in conflict with other groups of people or neighboring nations. So when this conflict really escalates and warfare follows, then the political leaders will send their soldiers into battle, send their soldiers into the face of danger to kill the enemy, but potentially be killed themselves. Those political leaders then they tend to sit back and say, "Off you go, you fight this fight for me, but I'm staying back here." And they'll make some superficial reason, but they really don't want to be harmed themselves, let alone die. So I mentioned this here because the advice that I'm giving here in terms of spiritual practice is not just something I'm giving to all of you, but is something that I need to practice as well. This advice is required for all of us to develop in our minds. Really, it's quite easy to sit here and give this practice instruction or practice advice to all of you. What's a lot more difficult than emitting words is to cultivate these minds within oneself. That is a lot harder. And And similarly in one's life, so many of you are parents, and if you are giving advice to your children, but you don't live according to that advice, they will call you out as a hypocrite. So if they say to you, or if you say to your children, oh, you shouldn't fight with others, you should rather be cooperative with others and try and through gentle persuasion encourage others to change their way of thinking rather than responding physically. But you beat your kids, or you engage in you hit your dog, then this is clearly hypocritical. Or if you're encouraging someone to exercise or to take good care of their health, but then on your side you drink too much, eat the wrong kinds of foods, and just sit on the couch all day, then this advice is going to be very clearly hypocritical. So this is the same here. It's from my side, I've studied, I've come to a good understanding of the Dharma, but so therefore to express it is not very difficult. But to cultivate these minds within myself, this takes constant hard work. When we go about the daily business, everything we observe, we can see, oh, this is very pleasant, that is not so pleasant. Or if we see someone, we can say, oh, this person is very attractive. Or this person, well, maybe their clothes aren't right, or their hair isn't right. So these things are very easy for us to see and to experience. But to see our own our shortcomings, this is a lot harder. To do that, we have to have a mirror. Without a mirror, it's difficult to see if we are dressed properly or our hair is right. And so this is the case for the external world, but equally it's the case for the inner world. So when we are engaging with others, it's very easy to see the faults in their behavior and therefore assume the way of thinking that comes behind that. But it's a lot harder to see the faults in our own minds and the faults in our own behavior. And to see with clarity the faults in our way of thinking, we also require a mirror. And the mirror for the inner world would be the Dharma texts or receiving teachings. It's only through studying and coming to understand the presentation of the Dharma that we have then, in a sense, the physical mirror that we can then apply to our own mind. And take then our attention away from being concerned, being obsessed perhaps with the faults of others and the faulty way of thinking and behavior of others, but rather to be looking at our own mind which is what we have responsibility for. And so the way to do this is to come to understand the Buddha Dharma well, to see the benefits of, for example, engaging in generosity and practicing patience and guarding ethics, the faults of miserliness and attachment and anger, and all the problems that follow for oneself and for others from not subduing one's own mind. And this knowledge comes about through coming to understand the Dharma through in reliance on texts and teachings, and then applying it to oneself. When we come to understand our own minds and looking at the faulty minds and virtuous minds, we need to come to understand, in particular, the self-cherishing mind. So last night we heard about how the self-cherishing mind has two divisions, or the two types of self-cherishing minds. So the first is what we usually would call the mind of self-grasping. So this is where the self appears to a mind as being truly existent, and so there's appearance of true existence, and then the self is grasped at as existing in the way that it appears, as existing truly. So this is one type of self-cherishing mind. So you have appearance of the self, and then it's cherished, or it's grasped at. So this then is the first type of self-cherishing mind, and this is what we usually will call the ignorance of self-grasping. So through this ignorance of self-grasping, first of all, many afflictions will follow. All the afflictions follow from this mind, and then one can ends up engaging in non-virtue. But one also, with the arisal of the ignorance of self-grasping, one may engage in virtue as well. But this virtue is not faultless, because it has as its basis this ignorance of self-grasping, or rather our virtuous minds are mixed with the ignorance of self-grasping. And therefore, whilst we are accumulating virtue, this virtue is not flawless, but due to being mixed with the ignorance of self-grasping, is faulty.
Chasong,
ลิงก์ว่าเจ้าที่ลิงก์ว่าเจ้าลิงก์ที่เราเข้าไปแล้วนั่นเจ้าหน้าจะตายยังดีกันไอ้มาช้ายังดีกันกำลังเทียดูลิงก์เชื่อกูมาตัวลิงก์เนี่ยมันเชื่อกูมาดีจีเนี่ยทุ่มดีกี่เจ้าบุเจ้าเกี่ยวว่าเลยทุ่มคนเกี่ยวว่าดีเจ้าบุมีลิงก์สิลิงก์มีแต่เลี้ยงทุ่มบัวละเจ้าทุ่มบัวเดี๋ยวเจ้าบุเดี๋ยวเราเกี่ยวกันจริงๆก็คือเนี่ยมันมีลิงก์ทอดเลยมีจีจำจะลิงก์ที่เรียนน่าจะตายยังดีกันไอ้เนี่ยมาช้ายังดีกันกำล
Just explore this a little more. So this first division then of the self-cherishing mind, which is this ignorance of self-grasping, from this one can end up engaging in both non-virtue as well as virtue. So engaging in non-virtue, this we've spoken about a lot previously, but when one engages in virtue that is mixed with this ignorance of self-grasping, this virtue then is flawed because it's mixed with this afflicted mind. So let's make it clear with an analogy. The self appears and appears as being truly existent, and then we grasp at this this appearance as existing in the way that it appears, and then we have this thought that goes with it of I want. So here we have the self-cherishing mind, that is the ignorance of self-grasping. And with this thought we may think, I need to guard my ethical conduct. I need to guard my ethics well. So here one has a virtuous motivation. One wants to guard one's ethics, and then one does so with his virtuous mind, and therefore accumulates virtuous karma, virtuous imprints on one's continuum. So this is a virtuous motivation, but it is mixed with the afflicted mind of the ignorance of self-grasping. So when the result comes from, when the karmic seed that's been accumulated of guarding one's ethics ripens as a propelling a karmic imprint and propels a rebirth, because it's a virtuous imprint, it leads to a good rebirth as a human or as a god. But because it's not a pure karmic, it's not pure, it's rather faulty, it has a flaw, because it's mixed with the ignorance of self-grasping, then that body that has been attained will experience illness and disease and other kinds of physical sufferings. So this shows that even when one accumulates virtue, when it's mixed with this afflictive mind, then when the result that comes from this, whilst a desired result or wanted result, the result is still flawed or still has flaws.
That in Niggy doesn't mind by Chi, Chidanga, when you read it, Chila, Michanga, and the Chicket, Ranches in Europe, and Nandeda, Ranjadi, Namle Cherokon, the dozen, Ranches in Yet, Tauduba, dozen, Delinibot, and Delipon, Dame, but Comte, Ninibot, Gungo, or Dibaya. In a long to kill a carriers, Cross and Ha, said Chidan.
And the second type of self-cherishing mind is the non-afflicted type, so the type that is not an affliction. So this is the self-cherishing mind, which is the thought of I. So those who are striving, for example, for liberation, they will be striving to overcome the first type of self-cherishing mind, which is that of the ignorance of self-grasping. Whereas this second type, they will still have. So this self-cherishing mind is the thought that I want to achieve liberation. To do this, I need to abandon all my afflicted minds. I need to realize emptiness. So this type of self-cherishing mind is non-afflicted, and from this, afflictions do not arise. So from this type of self-cherishing mind, further afflictions don't come. And it's because, and therefore when one engages in virtue, results such as liberation can come. Of these two types, we still very much have both of them. But amongst them, probably the first is the stronger, that the self-cherishing mind that is the ignorance of self-grasping. And this is because the contrary mind to this, that of selflessness, is something that we almost never think about. So therefore, this ignorance of self-grasping is particularly strong for us. The first division of the self-cherishing mind, the ignorance of self-grasping. So with this, with this afflictive mind, it permeates how we relate to others. Because mostly, if we see someone as a good person or as a kind person, or we see them as something quite different, is dependent on how they treat us, how they act towards us. If they show us kindness, we say, oh, what a fantastic person. If they look down on us, belittle us, or are dismissive towards us, or abusive towards us, then, oh, what an awful person. So when we think like this, we're thinking primarily in terms of how they relate to us. We're not thinking of, well, we don't, myself and this person, we don't have a good relationship, but actually they really are kind to other people, they have a good relationship with others. So therefore, actually, in the round, they are a good person. We don't tend to think like this. Rather, if they are kind to us, we see them as a lovely person. If they are not, then we consider them somewhat differently.
Sienya Pembegi, Jawa Yakutumada, Ranchin Diligore,
제가 내년당 전주 선바 되기기 고 견다야 조로지 가로 견다고 랑지들 견다고 그러다 랑지 니가 다 랑지는 되지 리니도 니가기 잠제 니지게야 누구어래 제가 니지게야 누구어래 제가 랑지는 되대 전주 선바게 될견 조냐 따지네 엔디 가서래 잔리야 저와다 잠제 고미야라 엔디시고래
In the context of our spiritual development, the self-cherishing mind also serves a function, the function of harming, in that if we're studying well and we're striving to overcome any obstacles to understand the Dharma well, then we can think, oh, aren't I fantastic? This is all the things that I am doing. Or one has a daily practice or going into retreat and thinking, oh, I'm meditating, I will overcome all the problems that come my way. And this too is an expression of the self-cherishing mind. So this self-cherishing mind is the primary obstacle object of abandonment for bodhisattvas. Both types of self-cherishing mind is what they focus on overcoming. And they do this in particular through the generation of love and compassion.
With
a bodhisattva, that being who has actually generated love and great compassion within their continuum and progressed this to the point where actual bodhicitta has arisen, then they may well have the wish or express the words, I need to guard my ethical conduct, I need to strive for enlightenment. But for them, this would not be an expression of self-cherishing. And the reason is because genuinely or sincerely, they have as their primary motivation the benefit of others. So they're practicing ethical conduct so as to benefit others. And that is their sincere or their genuine motivation. They are striving for enlightenment for the sake of others. And this is not just an expression of mere words, but this is their sincere motivation. For the sake of others, hardships will be overcome. For the sake of others, one will strive repeatedly over a sustained period to practice ethical conduct, to practice patience, and so forth. So for a bodhisattva, their motivation is sincerely for the sake of others. And therefore, saying, I want to achieve enlightenment, is not an expression of the self-cherishing mind. So now we come to the next verse. So verse 74. Kamaloka God, one gains such bliss as Brahma, bliss that's free from all desire. But know that after that comes constant pain, as firewood once one feeds a beast's flames.
Mm. 아주게
So the first line then refers to gods in the desire realm. As we've heard them, they've attained rebirth through the accumulation of very powerful virtue, and they've attained rebirth in the desire realm through the accumulation of very powerful virtue. And there they experience samsaric pleasures which are incomparable to what we can even imagine. But greater than the happiness or the samsaric pleasures that are experienced by desire realm gods are those of the gods in the form and formless realm, such as we see Brahma here. So they have suppressed their coarse, the coarse levels of attachment, and they have done so through the attainment of concentration.
The
meaning of these two lines then is that be aware that you who now have a good rebirth have attained this due to the causes you have accumulated in your previous lives. Moreover, in your previous lives you've experienced rebirths of far greater happiness than even you have now, whether as a desire realm god or as a god in the form and formless realm, where those gods have suppressed the afflictions of the desire realm and therefore experience a great happiness. Nevertheless, despite this good rebirth we have now and these very pleasurable rebirths we will have experienced in the past, we remain trapped in the cycle of samsara, remain trapped in this state of having to take uncontrolled rebirth again and again. And this is because we haven't broken this cycle of samsara, and we haven't yet attained liberation.
Sometimes The
sheep at them?
Something Shiba. Sumeva said, Gila, Tova Tanya Mado, Tova Diawai or Mara, Tova Duhai or Mara. Something that one Yiba, Sumbo Sum Dela, Tova Diawai or in a Duhai or Mara.
Gosso. The Gosson Denny Dumble, These gods in the form and formless realm have attained such a rebirth through attaining, first of all, attaining calm abiding, so this mind or single point of concentration, and with this the various clairvoyances. And then, in their take rebirth into the form and formless realms, they experience great bliss or great happiness. So in the concentrations of the form realm, there are four concentrations of the form realm. So the lower three, the first, second, and third, there are only feelings of happiness. So yeah, only feelings of happiness. When one, there are no feelings of suffering. When one attains the fourth concentration of the form realm, or the rebirth in the formless realms, then one only has neutral feelings. So therefore, in these realms, or the form and formless realms, all the desire realm afflictions are suppressed. There's no anger, there's no suffering. And this has come about due to the attainment of calm abiding and clairvoyance. So through attaining calm abiding, the causes are created for rebirth in the form and formless realms, where one doesn't experience these gross afflictions of the desire realm.
Debi Newmobana, the answer, doing all the chapas, then Debi soup, tra, tea, raw, reacha, or what? Desolate chapagate, Deshayoma, Elevore.
And Gabba, the Sultan Sukmanita,
Sumiki, or Sudan Simela, Debi Deshayoma, Recipe, Debi Desha, the Canachil, Lagore Lamna, De Sugi, doing all the chapel, Sugi, Suki, tra, Casa Debi, Debi, tra, Debi, tea, Debi, raw, Debi, reacha,
In the form and formless realm, then, there is no attachment for the sense pleasures. So the attachment that would normally arise in independence on objects that one sees or hears or tastes, etc. So this is there's no attachment for these sense pleasures, and that doesn't mean though that the seeds for this attachment has been abandoned. Those seeds remain on the being's continuum, but they are suppressed. So therefore, the attachment isn't experienced.
This more.
Den ich gesungen, den ich konnte dampo, den ich sucht uns, sucht mich kam kenne, konnte so dörtschak jöre, den ich dörkam ki dörtschak jöre. Ja,
der Okay,
den ich gesungen. The meaning here then is that, as has been mentioned before, is to get the feeling for the number of rebirths that we've had since beginning this time, that this continuous circling of rebirth after rebirth, and we've had rebirths in situations of great pleasure and happiness. So when there's rebirth in the form and formless realm, there is no desire realm attachment experience at all. There is attached, those beings do have attachment, but not this coarse attachment of the desire realm. So even where in the past we have attained these good rebirths, we are not in one now, and that just shows that we have fallen from such a rebirth. And likewise, and the reason for falling from such a rebirth for ourselves or any other being is because whilst one is there, one is consuming this powerful virtue that one has previously accumulated, but not replacing it with further virtue. And this remains the situation throughout samsara. One always is dependent on the accumulating virtue just to merely attain a good rebirth, let alone to attaining lasting, stable happiness. Hopefully then through this, we start to come to understand that we are caught in the cycle of taking uncontrolled rebirth after uncontrolled rebirth, always with the very real danger of falling into the suffering lower realms. And this cycle can only be broken by us ourselves, and this is broken through us destroying the causes for this continued uncontrolled rebirth. And that is abandoning the afflictive minds, in particular the root cause, the self-cherishing mind, or the self-grasping mind. And so doing that, we will then be able to finally attain happiness that is stable, happiness that is lasting, not what we have now that is pervaded by suffering and interrupted by suffering. But through abandoning our afflictive minds, we will attain stable happiness. And to abandon our afflictive minds, the two practices which are imperative are concentration and wisdom.
That didn't give Duma gini mebege, deni gini elia, suda sumele keva, duma se tau gini medigin, deni gulungu, deni keva lembare, de inaya, dan suda sumela, ya papa mongo, chichi, yamlinji, papa mongo, judging by your chasama, that deni gi, that suda sumilia, keva lenche, didinia, ya, numo bumpy, bumpy, and yamlinji, che matubaina, and gejo yapo samot, dizinajin, gejo yapo masabaina.
So these beings in experiencing the pleasures of the form and formless realm, when they have exhausted this virtue that has propelled them to such a rebirth, if they don't have sufficiently powerful a virtue on their continuum, then, as we see in the third and fourth line, they will end up taking rebirth in the lower realms, possibly even in the hells. So within the formless realm is also beings who are no longer subject to cyclic existence, those who have abandoned cyclic existence, the foe destroyers or arhats. So they will not fall into the lower realms because they have abandoned the causes to take uncontrolled rebirth in samsara. They have abandoned the causes to fall in the lower realms. But all ordinary beings who have attained such a rebirth, when their virtue is exhausted, then they will fall to a lower rebirth.
Mm.
The last two lines here, but know that after that comes constant pain as firewood one feeds a beast eats flames. The meaning then is that when one's virtue is exhausted, if the virtue that led to the happy migration has been exhausted, if that hasn't been replaced by engaging in practices of ethical conduct, generosity and patience, then one can only take a lower rebirth because the most powerful imprint left on one's continuum will be non-virtuous. And then one can end up even in the worst of all the rebirths, that of the hell of Avisi. And here the one is likened to fuel of the flames there in Avisi, and the lifespans in these lower realms are incredibly long, and therefore one experiences continued pain, continued suffering over an immeasurable period. So again, what is being emphasized in this verse is the precariousness of our situation, that we, our happiness that we are experiencing and have experiencing is by nature contaminated. Moreover, it is unstable and will end. Just like it has so many times in the past, it will come to an end. And thereafter, we are at the mercy of our previously accumulated karma. So therefore, the king here is being encouraged to utilize this opportunity well, and in particular to engage in the six perfections, and amongst them, in particular, concentration and wisdom. Because the development of single points of concentration, the mind of calm abiding, and the wisdom realizing emptiness, these two are required so as to attain liberation from cyclic existence. And moreover, there's encouragement to develop the other cherishing mind, to develop the mind of love and compassion, placing the needs of others first and foremost. And in this way, one's practice becomes a cause not just for liberation for oneself, but for liberation for all beings. It's important then to mention here that if one hears about the benefits that come from developing karma abiding or single points of concentration and takes some inspiration of this, then of course this is a good thing. However, one needs to be aware that the result that comes from merely developing concentration is continued rebirth in cyclic existence, as we've been hearing here. From merely developing concentration, one accumulates a cause that will propel one to rebirth in the former formless realm, and whilst that is a happy migration, the happiness is not stable, it's not lasting, it will end. So this is what we've been hearing about in this verse, and it's there to encourage us. It's there to encourage us to see that, one, we need to develop concentration, but not be content merely with developing concentration. It must be conjoined with the meditation on emptiness. We need to develop our wisdom, because it's only through developing wisdom, that we can attain freedom from cyclic existence. It's only through developing wisdom conjoined with the power of the mind of concentration that our wisdom will have the sufficient strength to attain liberation from cyclic existence. So here we are being encouraged not to think, well, I'm a human, I have no recollection of any other form of rebirth as a god or in the lower realms, but I like the idea of concentration, therefore I'm going to go for concentration. Here we've been advised to guard against such a motivation, but to strive for the concentration, but to apply it to the mind of wisdom, apply it to our meditation on emptiness, and thereby the mind of concentration, conjoined with wisdom, becomes a cause for freedom from cyclic existence.
Nirinki dadi ti shuwe maru lobsen ruwa chi tiga chagi duwa taka anje le ngaadul ya kabril ya ane chige pe tepeke layu liya kiye chin pe maa si dewa nyoya ta dini ki nyungo ra sanatu kiawa mangbo dine ka nga nyoa sa dewa nyoa sa le di maa se yaa chika tu ki tepeke dewa le lhapa ane chige ya dunga sa de tawa kine nyo mogo ya ki ya tingin zin trup chi ya samte shinye trup Jenenge sini trup jenen ya ya teyul ya suda sume bal ya kewa lenje jenenge kewa bal len haras ine adi chada chiko kowa le nyomo ba bang ma su ba zang kowa le choyo baras ma ru ba zang jenenge ya ne ko yuwa zhu mi de bi rashi yuwa zhu chik chik ya ma ya zamle ma ke zamle ya ke ni yuwa zhu ko le si sa jenenge chi de kewa kawa chi len bei ne ya rang gu ngon yu trup tu ke Jin呐，是讲了，对吧？不然我们这个造业的药嘛，是得得把马肉巴的，得把马肉巴，因上个，那个别也个用，是得多好用过的，需要过啥呢？这个也个用过的，用完不是呢？这个多好用过的，现在得把肉对吧？那个牛肉的，就那买了，话是啥？就也个啥呢？也个菜要买，当铺可能现在打个的，就这个啥呢？过猪肉要买，当铺可能现在真的是，现在得把马肉巴因上，牛肉不啥呢？这个也个用过的，这个牛肉啥呢？
So just to conclude then, what we've been looking at is through these two verses, as well as some other verses we've been looking at, is to come to understand this myriad rebirths and experiences that throughout cyclic existence, and that these all come about due to causes that have been accumulated by the beings who are experiencing the rebirth themselves. So we now have a human rebirth, moreover a precious human rebirth. This has been attained through causes we have accumulated. But in our past lives, we had rebirths of far greater, far more pleasurable rebirth than we even have now. For example, in the God realms, in the desire realm, God realms, we experience tremendous happiness, as we've been hearing in these verses. And then, as we've heard right now, even greater happiness is experienced in the form and formless realms, and those rebirths come from the accumulation of causes, in particular developing single-pointed concentration, and that alone leads to the, or that mind leads to the cause of being reborn in these, in the form and formless realms. However, despite having attained such good rebirths many times in the past, as well as suffering rebirths, we remain in this same position as we have been in since beginning this time. We remain bound within cyclic existence because we haven't broken the cycle. We haven't broken the cycle because we haven't abandoned the causes, namely the afflicted minds, together with their seeds. And as long as we don't abandon these causes, we will continue to remain trapped and take uncontrolled rebirth after uncontrolled rebirth. And even when we have a good situation like now, at the time of death, there is always the danger that we haven't accumulated sufficiently powerful virtuous karma, and we end up falling into the lower realms. So therefore, until emptiness has been realized, we will continue to take rebirth within psychic existence. Some rebirths will be good rebirths, like we have now, or even better, and others will be far worse. So therefore, it's imperative that we come to reflect on emptiness. We reflect on emptiness conjoined with a mind of concentration. So what we've been hearing here now applies also to the reflection, or we can also apply the reflection on emptiness to what we've been hearing here. So we've heard about how rebirths come about in dependence on causes. Our experiences of happiness comes about in dependence of virtuous causes. Our experiences of suffering come about in dependence on non-virtuous causes. So this means causes cannot be truly existent because they change into results. So if the idea of a cause arises in our mind, it will arise as something truly existent, as something unchanging, something not dependent on factors outside of it, but something dependent only on itself. So this is the appearance of true existence, and nothing exists truly. Causes don't exist truly because they can change into a corresponding result of happiness or suffering. Likewise, results don't exist truly because they have come from causes. So the happiness we experience, happiness may appear to our mind as being truly existent, but doesn't exist in this way. Our suffering experiences appear as truly existent, but they too don't exist in this way. So this is how we can apply the reflection on emptiness to what we've been hearing here. And moreover, because our experiences are dependent, they come from the accumulation of causes, the resulting result comes. Likewise, we can attain a result of liberation, because that too is a result. We can eliminate our causes for suffering and achieve causes for liberation. We can develop causes for liberation. So this then is how we can utilize our understanding of emptiness to this particular verse here as well. And then moreover, we need to conjoin this understanding with an appreciation of the situation of others. Understand that others too remain trapped and bound in the same way as we are. Others too have the heartfelt wish to be freed of all pain and suffering and to achieve lasting happiness, not to fall in the lower realms, or if born there, to attain a better rebirth. And thinking about the situation of others and the helpless situation that they are in, generate love and compassion. Strengthen this to the point where one generates the actual mind of bodhicitta, and then reflects on the practices of a bodhisattva, the minds of ethical conduct, the minds of generosity, the minds of patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom. So this, what I've just recounted now, is the meaning of this verse, the verse earlier, last night, and in fact, in summary, the whole text we've been looking at. So Nagarjuna is repeatedly bringing this across to the king, so as to help the king to see clearly the situation that he is in, and the solution that there is, and thereby placing the seeds on his continuum, so that he can cultivate that solution, give rise to that solution in his continuum, and encourage and help others to do the same as well. And of course that doesn't just apply to these historical figures, but it applies to all of us. And by all of us, I mean myself, as well as all of you. It applies to all of us ordinary beings. So we'll finish here for now. This afternoon we'll continue with the next verse. We didn't take any questions last night, but there is time now. So if you have some questions, then please do ask now. So Andy?
As you said earlier, that the God realms, the desire realm, God realms, happiness is exceeded by the formless realm and the form realms.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier you said that the formless realm and the fourth absorption of the form realm don't experience happiness. They experience neutral.
Neutral feelings, yeah.
So
not happy feelings, yeah.
So that's not a.
So how can they have more happiness then?
And then if it is neutral, how does that destroy their good karma?
Okay, so they're experiencing. So the second question then. So the first question then is how if beings who are born in the formless realm and the fourth concentration of the form realm only experience neutral feelings and not feelings of happiness, how can it be said they experience more happiness than desire realm gods or even humans? And then so that's the first question. And then the second question: how does the experiences of neutral feelings exhaust their virtuous karma? Yeah? Okay, those two. Okay. Katri Nidu. Dene Katri Dampo. Sukme Kamdang Sukam Rinpashipa De Konso Tsorwa Tangyong Chipu Nyongi Yare. Dene Natsu Namgin Kare Lapi Yare Konso Natsule Yamuna Durkam Gi La Le. Dewa chewa yore. Yeah? Sukme kam ki la, dewa chinche nyongi yore. Yine konso tsoro dewa nyongi yomare. Dene kandras konso dewa chinche nyongi repe. Di chite? Dene konso tsoro tangnyom chikpu nyongna, de kandras konso gewa gewa Noma sagi ki gewa ba sabante kandres me pesu girebe chat girebe.
Yeah.
Then niche.
Yeah. Tama de degam ki te dewa le sukham ki le dewa di shuche nyungu re se de jidan sukham ki dewa lap sharwa jidan ye khabar ma che ba she ba jidan da din sukham den samda dangwa yo sumbi dewa di sigore ma de shibe ki shigo ma Some day down big dewa, then you be the Sumbi dewa, Sukumi dewa. Tisa, Desoya, the big dewa, the Shuche, or I said dewa did it. But some day down when you be Sumbi, some day Shiva, Sumi dewa Kishigoma. The big dewa, the Sugi dewa, Shuche, or I said Sugi dewa, some down big dewa, then you be dewa, Sumbi dewa did it. What did it? And the name that some day Shiva, Desoya, and the Sumi particular, and Karajene. Carfore Lemna, because in Yemi, Kiawa de Pai, Kiwi Tibudi, called Minguro, means Longjugor, or rather. Kiwi Tibudi, Kiwi Tibutella, and Longjugor. Chisan, Kiwi Tibu Longjugor, and Yanja Kiawa Masavina, and then Kiwi Tibu the Lindibi, Tiawa Tanya Yomar, the Tanyum Yomar, Kiwi Tibula Tamar, Yumi or Tanyum Yomar, Tiawa, Chisan, sometimes Shibaria.
So when we talk about the happiness that is being experienced by the beings in the gods in the form realm as being greater than that of the beings in the god realm, this will be talking about the beings in the form realm in general. But to be specific, the beings in the first three concentrations of the form realm, there it said that they have feelings of happiness, so therefore it can be said that their happiness is greater than the desire realm. But in the fourth, the highest level, the fourth concentration of the form realm, there and above in the formless realm, then they don't have the happy feeling, they only have neutral feelings. So there they don't have happy feelings, they don't have suffering feelings, only neutral feelings. So there one wouldn't say that they are experiencing greater happiness because they don't have the happiness of feeling. Yeah. So that's the first question. Then the second one, the rebirth of these beings in the fourth concentration of the form realm as well as in the formless realm, this comes about due to previously accumulated virtue. This then ripens as a rebirth in one of those realms. But in those realms then, when they're experiencing only the neutral feelings, they are not replacing this previously accumulated karma that has now ripened into this rebirth. So when the time of death comes, they haven't replaced that karma. So then they are at the mercy of whatever is the strongest propelling karma on their continuum, which may well be a non-virtuous imprint and then lead to a lower realm rebirth. Okay? Okay. Okay. Yeah?
I'm not misunderstood, but I wasn't quite sure about taking responsibility for others to get out of the cycle, because how can we do that when we have our own afflicted mind?
Yes, good question. So how can we take responsibility for freeing others from suffering whilst we are still overcome by our own afflicted minds? Okay. Then Lakpon ki kola jia yore.
Pardon.
No, Lakpon bade. Kari jumpa ninje, kari jumpa ninje in mapa de kari sikere, drinking do.
Also jambada ninje je lakam namda.
Lakam namda, yes. Then also lakam namda kena, deni semchen sempa sangi gisala da sokpa tri ki do pe yare den aso genku yin sempa dero dropie na aso genku yin yin na aso dado nyomon ki wang na aso nyomon na aso wang che che ki yare na aso nani zampa kari ramon yomare deni kandes na aso genku de kelen che tukire jeza
deni jeza ngi jigi sin genku ji la wa jingi jidu tanga la rawa mindu jeza anda rawa yoga de sure ganesh tuk rawa rawa de karu go de
산지고마토 And the next lap, Mipe, Roto, Pekanga, Shoe, Jerry, don't attend to Roto, Pekanga, Quid Roto, and he's taking some of the social dead Kendam de Roto, Tond is a Kalayoma, Kalayoma, Kalajayoma. Just a cocanga, the Doshu, did go on missing in some of the Tanga, Kalaja, with the Kalakhodus and Tonga, and the party is Kangasigo. Dinashing and the
Nie, So what you're saying is very true. So when one in meditation generates this mind of special intention, where one takes responsibility for the others achieving happiness, others being separated from suffering, then one thinks to oneself, but in reality, I cannot do this. I'm because I'm still dominated by my own afflictive minds, etc., just like you said. Many think, so who can do this? So only a being who has freed themselves from their afflictive minds can guide others to a state of being freed from the afflictive minds. And amongst those beings, the one who has the qualities developed to the greatest extent is a Buddha. So therefore, I will strive for Buddhahood in order to benefit others. So therefore one generates this strength of mind and this commitment. For the sake of others, I'm going to go for this result. So like that. And an analogy that's easy to understand is if compassion arises for someone who's hungry, then the thought will naturally come to give them food, to satiate their hunger. But if we have no food, what to do? We've got no food. So we go to the shop, buy something, and give it to them. And that's the same here.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm afraid time's up, but we'll make more time for questions this afternoon. So if you can hold on to them till then. Thank you.